What's up, freaks? Listen, Matt and I have been running the show for 7.5, almost 8 years. We've created an incredible community around RHR. We enjoy coming back to the show week in and week out. And that's because we know that we're talking to other Bitcoiners when we're on this show. We know most of you have been holding for years alongside us. And most importantly, we know you didn't stack just to liquidate. We know you're hodling out there. But hodling means your wealth is locked up. Traditional finance wants you to sell, but that's not how us Bitcoiners think. And that is why this episode is sponsored by Strike. Strike built something exactly for you, which is their Bitcoin-backed loans. You borrow against what you already hold. You don't have to sell, take a tax hit. You can tap into your Bitcoin liquidity using their Bitcoin-backed loans. So go download Strike, use the code RHR. They've got an RHR code now, and you're going to get $500 of fee-free stacking to start. Download Strike. Use the promo code RHR, $500 fee-free stacking out of the gate. Go to strike.me, check it out.
This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an AirGAT fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q.
This was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
This rip was brought to you by our official electrolyte sponsor here at RHR, Salt of the Earth. You've been hearing Matt and I talk about it quite a bit. I drink multiple packets of it a day. You got to stay hydrated. That's why my face looks so good. So I'm getting buff. I'm able to get to the gym more because I'm hydrated. Matt, he's looking incredible. I'm sure you've all noticed it. You want to know why? Salt of the Earth, baby. Go to drinksote.com. Use the code RHR. And you're going to get 15% off. I'm dead serious. It's made my life way better. My wife, she's right behind me right now laughing, but she's laughing because she knows it's true. She drinks like 7 a day. I drink a few a day, maybe 7 a day too. Matt, I don't even want to tell you how much he's drinking. It's good. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you alert. Keeps you ready to go. DrinkSote.com. That's DrinkSote.com. Use the code RHR for 15% off any order.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Beautiful day here in Austin, Texas, here for the Bitcoin takeover. Warning, everybody. Short rip today, tight rip. I've got to get over to the event to lead a panel discussion on agentic payments. So we got a lot to talk about.
Don't forget to remind them that it's not just about agents paying each other. It's agents paying humans and humans paying agents and agents paying agents who are paying humans.
Yeah. Actually, I recorded with our good friend Paul Toy.
I love that dude.
Sponsor the show. Go support them. Their Hive product that they're about to launch is very impressive. We talked about it. Brian Murray from Craft Ventures also joined us. He's on the board of Lightning Lab. So we talked a lot about that towards the end of our discussion as well.
Brian's awesome. Both legends in their own right.
Yeah. Good discussion. Vibes are high here in Austin. Yeah, a lot going on. Let's jump into the dashboard. And then I'm sure many of you are aware I'm in a fight with Coinbase on the internet, so we'll address that.
Current price of Bitcoin is $70,470. One $1 will get you 1,419 sats. We're at a $1.41 trillion market cap. We're at block height 940,417. If you recall last week, there was a difficulty adjustment right before we jumped on air. And as of right now, we are 1,055 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, estimated to be negative 4.4%. Blocks have been coming in at 10 minutes and 27 seconds on average. Looking like that difficulty adjustment will be on March 20th. As of right now, look at Clark's mempool, 6,242 transactions. We go over to mempool.space. We'll see that they have 35,099 transactions. Mempool is pretty lively right now, pretty busy right now. If you have a high priority transaction, you need a 5 sat per V-byte transaction fee.
No, it looks like you need, well, if you look at the block, right? What is it? You need like 3.5 sats or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So
very expensive.
That is the state of the network. That's the state of the
what
network.
Does that cost? It costs like 30 cents.
Yeah.
30 cents to send an infinite amount of money. Marty, congratulations. Episode 400.
Oh, wow.
We did it.
We did it. I forgot. Episode 400. 400 times we've met together to talk about Bitcoin.
Kind of fucking wild.
It is.
We've met way more than that, by the way. But live on air 400 times.
Yeah.
Every week, man. Every fucking week.
Hey.
No, that's why sometimes you get us on our best. Sometimes you get us on our worst. You know, it is what it is. It's how the cookie crumbles. We're humans.
We are humans. Did you watch Bruce Almighty? Is that why you have how the cookie crumbles in your mind?
No. No, but that's a classic. I should watch that. That's how the cookie crumbles.
Let me pull up the live chat.
We have Vake, Ride or Die Freak, who's been here with us for maybe all 400 episodes. With 10,000 sats, says stay humble, stack Brian Armstrong hypocrisy.
Well, I guess Vake is creating a segue to the first topic. I mean, it was extensively covered on the internet on X specifically yesterday. Wrote about in the newsletter, the little talking head video, but don't have to rehash it. I think I've said what has been brought to me, which is two sources, basically starting a couple of weeks ago saying, hey, actually like months ago, there was rumblings from people close to the Hill that the de minimis tax exemption for Bitcoin was being pushed to the wayside for a de minimis tax exemption for stablecoins, which again, doesn't make sense. Has somebody reach out to me last week, say, hey, this is looking like it's Coinbase's lobbying team that may be pushing for this. Who knows the intention? Maybe they just want to get something across the line. They view Bitcoin de minimis tax exemption is too big of a hurdle to overcome to get some of the things they want in terms of concessions from the banking lobby for stablecoin yield. Again, this is all speculation on the intention. And then yesterday morning, I had a second source basically reach out and validate and confirm that that idea that Coinbase was the one stifling the conversation around de minimis tax exemption for Bitcoin payments specifically. So I reported it on Twitter, and Coinbase has responded denying it. We'll leave it at that. I'm just happy the conversation is being had and more people are being brought into the fold, and it's being brought top of mind. And then on top of that, I think many people are also trying to ensure that the BRCA language, which would protect open source developers and self-custody, gets included in the market structure bill. And I think to clarify, I had one misstatement in the response I had to Brian Armstrong last night, which was de minimis tax exemption being part of the market structure bill. I don't think that's being discussed. I think it's separate, tax policy separate from the market structure. But I think you can make the argument that de minimis tax exemption does contribute to market structure if you have people feeling better about spending Bitcoin. It certainly contributes to some part of the market structure, but you know, it's semantics.
So yeah, interesting day on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's obvious. It's been obvious for a while to anyone paying attention that Coinbase does not care about Bitcoin as payments tech or Bitcoin as money for that matter. And they barely prioritize Bitcoin as a store of value asset. They're mostly just neck deep in shitcoin land. Their Coinbase commerce product and their Coinbase wallet have really poor Bitcoin support. I think the commerce piece alone doesn't actually allow you to accept Bitcoin. You can accept wrapped Bitcoin on Ethereum or Base, but you can't accept real Bitcoin, is my understanding. Or at least that's how it was when it launched. On the surface, USD tokens getting de minimis tax exemption seems just like a retarded concept because they're supposed to be stable one-to-one against the US dollar. But just for context for people, particularly in the DeFi world, all these things trade at like small discounts or premiums to a dollar. It's never exactly a dollar, which is why presumably they want that, you know, written in law that says that those are tax exempt, even though the tax burden for something like that should be already de minimis, because if it's actually working as a USD token, it should be $1. So all that makes sense. I mean, people can extrapolate how they want to extrapolate. I think the more likely scenario here is that it's clearly just not a priority for Coinbase, and it is a hot button issue. Anytime you're trying to reduce taxes for American citizens, a lot of interest will want to stop that from happening. So I think it's rightfully assumed that it will be a big fight to get any kind of de minimis Bitcoin exemption passed. I know it's a major focus for Bitcoin Policy Institute, and it's frustrating to see industry players not, you know, I think there's a lot of calls for Bitcoiners to be nicer or be more allied with the greater crypto industry. But time and time again, we see the opposite happen, which is they throw Bitcoin users under the bus who want to use Bitcoin in a freedom-oriented way for their own gains. And the Clarity Act is a perfect example of that. The developer, open source developer protection is incredibly important. Sidelined. Bitcoin de minimis, extremely important. Sidelined. It's a predatory tax setup. And then the last piece, I mean, any kind of protection for self-custody, using your own node, that type of thing, oftentimes sidelined. And the focus is, how can we dump as many shitcoins on retail as possible? And that has always been their priority and will continue to be their priority.
Yeah. And I will say, as it relates to the BRCA, Senator Lummis did respond to Frank Corver's tweet saying that that is misinformation and or that's not accurate as of right now. The current state of the bill includes BRCA. So
that's good.
Hoping that sticks through the end.
I mean, to be clear, as it currently stands, that's basically the only piece of the bill that's actually beneficial to Bitcoiners. For Bitcoiners that want to use Bitcoin in a freedom-oriented way. Everything else is designed to help shitcoin casinos. Is effectively what the bill is right now.
Yeah. And we're thinking about tactics here too. I think it was, it's actually funny. I learned the tactic from Brian Armstrong himself, because I think he actually did a very good job of highlighting that if you draw a line in the sand and you say like, hey, this is my line, they will negotiate and get to the table. And he did that, I think last month or a couple months ago, when he said, hey, I'd rather have no bill than a bad bill. And it seems like it forced the banking lobby and others to get to the table. It's, I think, from what I'm seeing, they're going to get concessions on the stablecoin yield. And so I think just using a similar tactic as it pertains to Bitcoin de minimis tax exemptions is a good move.
Look, I think in general, when you see things that are happening behind closed doors and are not productive, it's better to have open dialogue and conversation about them and bring them out into the open. So kudos to you on that.
Agreed. I was not expecting it to become as big of a thing as it did, but here we are. I mean, we've talked about this in the past and you alluded to it earlier, but like, ideally we can just use Bitcoin as money, like the capital gains tax. We've said this many times. It's a predatory tax, a tax on savings. It doesn't make sense from first principles. And I think especially when you consider the state of the country right now, it's becoming harder and harder to justify paying any tax, let alone a capital gains tax on Bitcoin spends.
It also goes hand in hand with the war against financial privacy, right? And they oftentimes will not say this part out loud, right? But the reason, the main reason financial privacy is either directionally criminalized or just outright criminalized is because of enforcement of these types of taxes. They need massive burdensome surveillance mechanisms in place in order to make sure that those taxes are collected. So if you remove that incentive, financial privacy across the board should get significant improvement. They're taxing the hell out of us. They're printing tons of money. They're doing foreign wars. They're spending in corrupt ways. Like, this is not how a well-run society is operated. Yeah.
I mean, I said this last night in the newsletter on my talking head video. Like, I think at the very least, the government has to throw the people a bone. Like, with what's happening in the Middle East and the Strait of Hormuz, and I think it's, despite what the Trump administration would try to lead the public to believe, it's becoming abundantly clear that there's going to be massive energy supply chain and then byproduct supply chain, just massive broad supply chain disruptions that are going to be emanating from this war in the Middle East. And at the same time, you have this private credit bubble exploding. I mean, I think in the last 8 days, I mean, BlackRock, or Morgan Stanley, excuse me. BlackRock came out last week. We already covered that. But Morgan Stanley came out yesterday and gated redemptions in one of their private credit funds. And so you have this scenario where you're blowing up all these supply chains. You're attacking energy supply chain, which is going to drive up the cost of gas and just energy, which is the raw input of the global economy. And then you're taking LNG out, which is taking helium out, which has an effect on chips, some of the byproducts of these oil and gas processes are critical to fertilizer. And so many people are talking about like a potential food shortage, like literal crop shortage at the fall of this year, because we don't have enough fertilizer getting to market. I mean, it's just a reminder of, and we've been saying this in direct text to each other all week. It's just like very reminiscent of early COVID. Everybody caught on to what's happening. And I think we're going to find ourselves in a situation later this year where you have inflation running rampant because of these supply chain disruptions. And then at the same time, you're going to have a bailout of the financial sector because this private credit situation is quickly cascading and they're going to need to bail them out because it's becoming abundantly clear that a lot of these private credit funds have a ton of pension money, and you have boomers retiring expecting that. And I don't think you can have the political double whammy of a new war in the Middle East and retirees losing all their pension money at the same time. So they're going to have to print. The supply chain inflation is going to be exacerbated by money printing. And long-winded way of saying, like, the government has to throw the people a bone and allow us to opt into better money.
Get off our backs. Long-winded way of saying Mandibles and Bitcoin Standard. Like, it definitely feels like pre-COVID, before the normies panicked, and there's a bunch of different variables at play. But if you just threw out all the variables, and by the way, you left out AI leading to massive job loss, which is definitely playing out as well. If you isolate all the variables out of the war right now and just focus on energy prices, the market hasn't panicked yet. Just forget about all the knock-on effects. I mean, there's going to be a ton of them, like you said, chips and food and everything else, and just general supply shortages across the board. But just energy prices alone and the amount of refineries and other infrastructure that have been damaged or straight up destroyed. Like the market hasn't, the people that participate in the market have not taken it in yet. It 100% feels like the calm before March 2020.
Yeah.
Right now.
I feel it. It feels like the period of time when it's funny how we all had this like immediate reversal. Like we were the first to panic, yeah, put mask on. And like, I remember walking through the Whole Foods in Williamsburg on like March 1st and we're like loading up. I have a mask on. My wife was like, we look crazy right now. I was like, baby, don't worry. Like people are going to freak out in a couple weeks. Like we're at that point right now. And what was the catalyst that led to people freaking out? It's funny how like the timeline's lining up too. It's not going to happen exactly the same way, but the catalyst that led to everybody freaking out was like the canceling of the March Madness tournament. And
no, it was the NBA too. NBA. It was like,
I think it was like a Jazz game. It was like the first one to be like, we're canceling the March Madness. It was like, we're not going through with it. And then people started freaking out. They couldn't know.
No, like canceling sports.
So like, what is the parallel to that this time around? I saw Ed Dowd tweeting about it, but Thailand, I'm not sure if you caught this headline, but like the Thai government basically sent out a directive for companies to tell their employees to work from home because they don't want to exacerbate the electricity grid. So the concept of like energy lockdowns coming to
yeah, I mean, I hopefully, you know, hopefully we don't have to fight against lockdowns again. I hope it's not directly one-to-one, but at the very least, market panic, you know, recession elevated, maybe turns into even more than a recession, a depression, I don't know what you want to call it. And then massive printing, right? But it does feel that same feeling of like sleepwalking into it. And who knows, maybe in another 2 months, then we're going to be on the tip of the spear being like, these lockdowns are ridiculous and it's going to be all over again. It's just eternal September. But it does, like I said, just people are hurting out there. This is something we've talked about constantly over the last year, 2 years, and it's just gotten worse and worse. And then all you do is increase energy prices significantly. Forget all the other knock-on effects, and it's just brutal. It's just massive. And most people are just not paying attention. If you're on X or Noster or you're monitoring the situation, you are one of the few. You're in a little bubble. Most people have no idea. And also, it's crazy for a modern war how hard it is to get good information right now. Mm-hmm. The fog of war is very strong. So even the people that are paying attention, you have to work for it. There's a lot of fake news out of there. There's a lot of just quiet where you're not getting real information. By the way, this is interesting timing too. Senate Democrats or House Democrats, I don't know, Democrats are trying to push through a bill banning war markets on Poly Market. And right now, it's one of the few avenues of quality information on what's going on. And of course, they want to block that avenue. They don't want you to know what's going on over there. They don't want you to know.
I feel like the Democrats want you to know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think for these types of things, it's all one party.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm getting like, I don't know if you're picking, but I'm getting like Mad King vibes from Trump. Did you see that thing with like that rally last night, like talking about the war and bringing up Logan Paul? It's like, what the fuck is going on right now?
What about the shoes? Did you see the shoes?
No.
He's like buying everyone in his cabinet the specific pair of $145 shoes, but he's not asking them their sizes. He's just winging it. So like the whole cabinet's walking around in these shoes. They're most of them don't fit them. And specifically like Rubio's shoes are like an inch too big. Like you just see, he's like swimming in the shoes, but he doesn't want to not wear the shoes because Trump gave them to him.
Yeah. I don't see that. I did not see that. Yeah. It's
the shoes, shoe gate.
It's getting very weird out there. Very, very weird. But don't fear. Do not fear. Do not fret. Focus on what you can control. I would load up on quarter calf, half calf, or plan to in the next couple of months. Like our freezer's halfway empty. And I think I'll probably buy another quarter or half here in the next month or two.
We have so much meat. We're ready to go. Never been in a more secure situation, to be honest.
Yeah. That being said, other stuff to talk about. World is crazy, but stuff is happening in Bitcoin too. What can we do? What can we focus on? What can we build? Again, like I said earlier, we have an opt-out option. I didn't say that explicitly, but we do have an opt-out option in Bitcoin. And particularly if you secure your own private public key pairs, and Coldcard just released the MK5, bigger screen, fantastic keypad. It's got faster NFC, backwards compatible for seamless upgrade. Comes with quantum Bitcoin awesomeness. So this has been a long time coming. Matt and I have sort of been getting insight into the build process for this. And I think it's great to finally see it at the market. And then on top of that, obviously it comes with all the firmware, incredible firmware that comes with Coldcard as well.
I forgot to link. They came out. By the way, freaks, I know I said I would post the list to Noster going forward, so you don't have to check YouTube. I put it in the live chat for this week. Maybe that's what I'll do going forward, but we were just in a rush to get this list together. Like we said, we had a very tight rip. But Coldcard also came out with a new firmware late last week, which I'm trying to look up. I mean, the big highlight was they made signing proof of reserves much easier. Proving ownership of funds using PSBTs, which is great to see. The MK5, NVK has been talking to us about the design process and the manufacturing for a while. I'm quite excited about it. I personally love the small form factor. I think the Q is great. The big keyboard, specifically if you're using passphrases, is really fantastic, and the QR code reader. In terms of discreteness and size, I love how small the MK4 is. And so the MK5 is just a nice, really nice hardware improvement in terms of build quality and screen size. And they're using Gorilla Glass now on the screen. So I think it'll be pretty awesome. To be clear, security-wise, you're looking at the similar security between the MK5 and the Q. So it really comes down to what you want form factor-wise. Choose your form factor.
Yeah. Play around with both.
Use code RHR for a discount.
Yeah.
Coldcard.com.
Go check it out. Next up on the list, we've got... interested to get your thoughts on this, because obviously many people reported on this, TFTC included, but then the rage came out. But last week, U.S. Treasury released a report that acknowledged the legitimate privacy uses for crypto mixers like CoinJoin implementations and protocols like Tornado Cash. I don't think they named them explicitly, but I think there was a section in this report that highlighted like, hey, we recognize that there is a need for financial privacy between businesses, their employees, consumers, and merchants they're interacting with, and so it does make sense that people would use these tools to attain a degree of privacy while transacting with Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. That was good to see, but Lola and the team at The Rage basically said, hey, don't take that small snippet, read the whole report. And they were saying that other language that was included in the report pertained to something that we've been covering since the crypto brief was released last summer from the crypto team, David Sacks and everybody working for him. And it was the inclusion of extending the Patriot Act to cover digital assets. And it seems like that's still on the table as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is the frustrating part, right? You constantly see, like, I don't want to say virtue signaling, but it feels like virtue signaling towards financial privacy. And then the brass taxes, they throw people in jail. Like the Samurai devs are still in jail. The next story I have on the list is they're still going after Tornado Cash founder. They're planning on a retrial now. Actions speak louder than words. And it's easy to pull out small pieces of a Treasury report and post like the most positive reaction to it as engagement bait on social media. And you will get a lot more engagement if you do that than if you add any kind of nuance. But the reality is much messier and much worse. And this is why it's, you know, it's incredibly important that we learn from the early cypherpunk movement when it came to encryption and open source encryption tech, that this fight needs to be fought on two fronts. It needs to be fought on a policy front and a legal front, as well as on the tool side. We need the tools to be easier and more accessible than ever. But also in the countries that we live in, we need to do whatever means necessary to get the government off of our backs and to keep us out of the gulags. And so as an American, as someone who is building a family here and building businesses and various projects in America, it's incredibly important to me that we can at least partially remove the government from our threat model. Like, it's absolutely insane that the most likely way Bitcoiners operating in America can have their lives ruined is our own government. And there's tangible wins that can be had. And people are fighting the good fight, but it's a fucking grind.
It is a grind. It is insane. Again, the Patriot, it's just going in the wrong direction. Like, the Patriot Act is, I think, an aberration and a stain on the history of the United States, if you believe it to be a country founded on the ideals of freedom, sovereignty, and the ability to live your life the way you want, as long as you're not harming others. And Patriot Act just threw this dragnet surveillance apparatus on top of American citizens and global humans around the globe, for that matter. And the thought that the government just wants to keep extending those capabilities and those capabilities that infringe on freedom, privacy, and sovereignty, and the right to go about your life, again, as long as you're not harming anybody without the government intervening and stepping in, is disconcerting. And I think anybody on the Hill, hey, maybe you're seeing this live, maybe you're watching it after, because you saw the kerfuffle on X yesterday between myself, others, and the Coinbase team, and you're trying to get that perspective. Well, we have a range of perspectives in terms of policy oriented towards Bitcoin and just broader policy oriented towards American citizens. We should not be extending the Patriot Act. We should be working to remove it from our lives.
Yeah, look, we're not asking, Coinbase is asking for special favors for their business. We're not asking for special favors for the businesses that we invest in. What we're asking for is common sense rules that benefit America as a whole. Like, you want to see America be the Bitcoin capital of the world. You want us to be the AI powerhouse of the world. And these things go hand in hand with not criminalizing your own citizens and not going after people that are productive humans in our society. Our the ultimate goal should be aligned if you're not a corrupt politician. Unfortunately, most of them are corrupt. I will say there are some bright spots, and hopefully we can nail some wins here. But the ask is simple. Do what's best for America. Don't do what's best for your pockets.
Yeah. We shouldn't have to ask it, but as you mentioned, we find ourselves in a situation here in 2026 where unfortunately we are obliged to ask for that. Moving on, as you mentioned, there's a retrial of Roman Storm in the Tornado Cash case. DOJ, SDNY, still coming after him. For those who forget or are unaware, he was tried and judged by a jury of his peers, and they basically said they could not claim that he was guilty. They didn't claim he was innocent either. I think they said they did not feel confident to.
It was a hung jury.
It was a hung jury on two particular counts. And so DOJ coming back at it again. Roman, you have a link from Amanda Tums here, but I would highly recommend everybody go to Roman Storm's Twitter page and read his tweet about the situation. I mean, it's the other thing. It's like, this guy's got a young daughter. He just built software that allowed people to find financial privacy. They're trying to say that he enabled terrorists to do. I mean, the Lazarus Group was using Tornado Cash. I think that's a fact. What they're trying to say is that he actively knew this and was coordinating with them to enable them to achieve privacy while transacting on the Ethereum blockchain. I think it's a stretch to believe that Roman Storm was collaborating with North Korea to do these things. And similar with the Samurai Wallet case, they built
software. Look, it's a common. But you use it. It's a common tactic, right? You isolate a very small subset of users that are already criminals that are using something, and then you go after the operators, even though the overwhelming majority of use was by productive members of society for basic financial privacy. And if you don't have financial privacy, you can't have freedom, and if you don't have freedom, you can't have wealth. It's all interconnected, and as an American, this needs to stop. As a Bitcoiner, I think the Bitcoin network will be fine regardless. But as an American, and as someone who's building my family and our businesses here, we need better policy. I see in the live chat, Alexander the Great says, real GigaChads use Strike, not Coinbase. He's absolutely right. Single biggest thing you can do to get back at Coinbase is to go and delete your account if you have a Coinbase account. And if you live in the great state of New York, you now have the option to use Strike or any other state for that matter.
Most countries. You
can find a ton of countries, 90 plus countries. You can download Strike in your favorite app, in your favorite app store. And if you use code RHR at sign up, you get $500 worth of fee-free transactions. And then after that, by the way, if you set up auto stacking, you got no fee in perpetuity. It's a great hack. Auto withdrawal, auto stacking, auto withdrawal to self-custody, real Bitcoin, not that paper shit. We have Larry Zapdos, 42,000 sats. BTC Isla is hosting their first ever Bitcoin 101 bootcamp. It's a 4-day immersive experience for anyone early in their Bitcoin journey. You'll come in knowing very little about Bitcoin and you'll leave understanding it, why it matters and how to use it. Come learn on the beautiful island of Isla Mujeres, Mexico, and experience a Bitcoin circular economy. For more details and to secure a spot, visit btcislamap.org/Bitcoin101.
Go check it out. Next story on the list. This is pretty crazy, but not surprising at all. Report from GATT. All Black Gat on X. In case you didn't know, the dude running the White House account spent time at the Army Psychological Warfare Unit at Fort Bragg before being assigned this role. The Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, which was passed into law under Obama, made it legal for the U.S. government to propagandize the American people. They're at war with us. And I think...
Play the bowling video.
No.
Do we have sound?
Here comes the heat from the USA. Boom! Pins down. What a
take. So it's like you're playing, and like in my mind, like it is psychological warfare because I wanted to start singing Freebird as it was going on. I was like, I fucking love this song, but
they know exactly what they're doing.
And I thought, I mean, this has been gone. They were doing it around the ICE riots in Minneapolis. They've been doing it. They've basically taken sort of schizo Twitter, schizo 4chan, sort of TikTok. high quality production techniques. They're using them to propagandize the American people. And I thought they were cool like a year ago, but now like the stakes are incredibly high with this war. It's becoming obvious. It's like, holy shit, they're really leaning into this. And I think anybody who's unaware of the Smith-Mundt Authorization Act should go look into it. Like they are legally allowed to propagandize us now.
And it's straight from the official White House account, which is wild. And to anyone, I think, to anyone who questioned the power of controlling these centralized platforms and having the God mode levers and switches you can pull on these things in times of war or other chaotic times, it's an insane amount of power. Like it is a power that no man or company should have. And a few do right now. And I think, you know, open protocols like Nostr are more important than ever as a result, because this is the obvious propaganda when you see videos and stuff. When things are deciding what gets trending and what doesn't get trending and what gets shadow banned and what doesn't get shadow banned and the entire thing's a fucking black box, that's where the real fucking evil shit is going down. And that's beneath the surface and harder to see.
Yeah, like I would not be surprised if my reporting yesterday was trending because they wanted something to trend outside of what's happening in the war, right? To a certain
distraction.
Extent. Distraction. Drown out some of it. Crazy times we're living in, freaks. I feel like we say that every week now. On to the Human Rights Foundation Financial Freedom Report story of the week coming out of Turkey, where there is a crackdown on currency exchange. Turkish officials have stepped up their enforcement of unregistered foreign currency exchanges in major cities and tourist areas since 2018. Officials have suspended the operations of 859 unlicensed businesses. The crackdown comes as many people in Turkey increasingly seek other currencies to protect their savings from inflation and the long-term decline of the Turkish lira. Yet again, inflation rises, capital controls on citizens trying to escape that inflation increase. Turkey just being the latest example of that. And it's not even the latest example. They've been doing this for years since the lira experienced hyperinflation. I believe it was last year or the year before. For more stories like this and others, make sure you go to financialfreedomreport.org and sign up for their weekly newsletter. Will capital controls come here? I mean, that was the other thing
they heard. I
forgot to mention earlier that we should touch on, like, because there's like the CBDC ban that's getting injected into a bill. I forget, it's like a farming bill or something like that, a land bill. It was supposed to be in another bill at the end of last year, but it got ripped out at the last moment. It's back on the table, but again, talking about propagandizing and being careful of semantics. The House is saying, all right, we're going to get the CBDC ban in this bill. As it's written today, the Federal Reserve would not be able to issue a CBDC between whenever the bill is signed into law, if it is, and 2030, excuse me. And many people who are supporting this are saying, yes, we should ban CBDCs. The Fed shouldn't be able to have control over our money, because many people, I bring this up because many people are afraid that if the Fed does that, you have the very easy ability to enact capital controls. You can decide who can and cannot spend money and what they can spend it on. And I think it's just a cautionary story. Like, just because you get a CBDC ban doesn't mean it can't come in another form. And again, bring it back to Coinbase and their focus on stablecoins and stablecoin yield and creating a regulatory moat around that stablecoin apparatus. The stablecoins can essentially do everything a CBDC can do. They're issued by centralized third parties. Their reserves are stored in treasuries, which are issued by the U.S. government. And ultimately, these companies that are issuing these stablecoins are regulated by the federal government, state governments. And if push comes to shove, the mechanisms to basically do anything the Federal Reserve would do with the CBDC exist with stablecoin infrastructure as well.
Yeah, I mean, and look, the CBDCs are already here. They're just privately run. And you have multiple benefits when you have them run privately. One is that corporations get to enrich themselves. And then second of all, in America specifically, it's an end around the Constitution, because you don't have constitutional protection from corporations. And then they can just sell that data, or basically give that data over to the US government. This is something we've seen across the board, not just on money side, but in a lot of ways, like, I mean, I think we've talked about this, the informal economy, the amount of our normie friends that are using Venmo, for instance, that's effectively a CBDC. It's a private version. It doesn't use a blockchain. And all transactions are tracked and logged and used against you at will. So, it's a little bit of a psyop. Get everyone focused on hating on CBDCs while in practice, the same thing has been actively rolled out and will continue to be rolled out over time. But, you know, still a win, you know, still good to see, I think.
Yeah.
But it's important that freaks are aware of the reality of the situation.
You know, at least some people are thinking in the right direction on Capitol Hill.
I mean, like a non-money example here, by the way, is like those Flock cameras that they're putting up all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like the U.S. government would have, because we actually do have a constitution, would have a lot of difficulty just putting up surveillance cameras everywhere and adding AI to them or recording everything you do. But a private corporation can do it easy. And then the private corporation can just hand all of that data over without a warrant. And that's how you end up in dystopia with an end around of our constitution.
Seeing those private public partnerships that
there you go,
it could lead to this. All right, we're getting to the software update section of the show. We've got 10 minutes left, so I got to make sure I read the top boost. We got 134,000 sats last week for $3.99. Thank you, freaks, for supporting here. The top boost, Johnny Stimulus with 23,000 sats, no message. Thank you, Johnny Stimulus. Boise, 22,222 sats, twos across the board. Palindrome boost. The Chicago Bitcoin Collective, the Bitcoin-focused workspace, is having our first open house Saturday, March 21st. So that is a week from this Saturday, 1 to 7 p.m. Come hang out and see the space at 3938 North Central Ave, Portage Park, Chicago. And you can go check out what they're up to at chicagobitcoincollective.com. Then we have one from a random MPub, 21,000 sats. Hey guys, a note from last week. There's a great privacy-focused company, Above Phone, which sells pixels with graphene pre-installed. Not a paid shill, just a happy user who did not have to flash the OS.
Interesting. I don't know anything about them. Tread carefully.
And the blockchain.
Obviously, there's some trust. If you buy something that pre-flashed for privacy, there's some trust to it. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Longtime freak, blockchain bug. 21,000 sats, talk stocks, stack sats on the stacker.news, stacker stocks territory. I guess sub stack.
They have like subreddits there now.
Yeah.
By the way, on the graphene piece, graphene has a great app that you can install on a different Android phone that will verify the install on the actual graphene phone using QR codes. So if you do question, you know, who installed your graphene and you want to verify that it all seems right, and go to their website, you can download the verification app. It's actually a pretty slick experience. And that what is their website? GrapheneOS.org. That verification app doesn't have to be running on a graphene device. So you can just like run it on any old Android phone. And then easily verify your install. But I am pretty excited for this Motorola partnership. And then also on top of that, on Primal or any Noster app, our RHR account posts hash signed videos after the fact. And freaks can zap there as well. We have Florida Justin zapped 22,222 sats. He's got a Bible verse here that's cut off. Man bit, zapped 21,000, 12 sats. And roaming zapped 21,000 sats with his famous asteroid emoji and said, acupuncture for sats in Massachusetts. Contact me on Noster.
Acupuncture. My wife swears by it.
So does mine. I've never tried it, though.
Neither have I. Neither have I. We got some zaps in the Noster live stream chat right now. Matt, 21,000 sats. Got wrecked by Daddy Jack in the block layoffs. Sorry to hear that, brother. Would love to work on BTC/Noster. If anyone is looking for a God tier front end dev, DM me on Noster at mcote, M-C-O-T-E, at title.com. LOL, R-I-P.
God tier. He's humble, too.
You'll get back on your feet, Matt. Anybody with interesting ideas, hit him up. And then we got Soap Miner zapping 21,000 sats, no message. Soap Miner.
Use code RHR.
Soap Miner. Personal business on air. I owe you a message. I was preparing for my trip to Austin this week, and I had a Soap Miner box under my sink. I'd run out of all the soap I had in the previous box, and I like to load up on it. I didn't realize it was like a personalized care package you had sent me. I thought it was just another box of soap I had bought. And so I think you might have sent it like last fall. So I read your letter. I love the deodorant, the lip balm, and all of that. And I'm sorry if it seemed like you sent me a care package. I didn't respond. I just opened it 2 days ago, and I literally have your note to respond to you on Signal when I'm on my flight back to Philly. So thank you for that.
That's hilarious. He's the best. Best soap in the business. Go to soapminer.com, use code RHR.
All right, software update section. We're going to do it like we're going to go back old school way. I'm just going to start blowing through these. And Matt, if you feel compelled to talk at length about any of them, just interject. We got Bitcoin Core merging cluster mempools for improved efficiency. It's long awaited. So cool to see that. Zaporite API resource for Bitcoin payments integration, particularly if you're trying to have your agent or easily set up Bitcoin payments on your website using an agent. This will be very good for that. Manent version 1.0.0, an encrypted Noster-based note-taking app, has launched. That sounds pretty cool. The Bitcoin 2026 Developer Workshop Proposal Repository by PTC Media is on GitHub. And so I think this is for the Las Vegas conference. If you want to run a workshop, go check out this GitHub link.
Back when I was consulting for them, I helped set up their open source program. And that's the open source stage, which they're still running. The workshops, which as you can see, they're still running. And the open source developer ticket program, which they're still running. So if you're an open source contributor and you want a free ticket to Vegas, you can apply for that. If you want to run a workshop, use that GitHub repo. That's why that exists. And then also, by the way, I think we can tease it, but we'll have more information for you. Marty and I are going to be running another RHR live show in partnership with PubKey and the Bitcoin Bugle Boys in Vegas, which we're very excited about. Early stages of planning there, so you'll have more details soon.
Yeah. We had a great planning call yesterday. Very excited to get Dick Reeser and Rod Palmer in the mix this year. The Bugle Boys will be in attendance. And as I'm sure you can all imagine, we'll add a layer of comic relief necessary. Not necessary, but we'll add another layer. The show's going to be great. We love the live shows. And this one's going to be really cool.
The one in Nashville we did was a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, we're waiting on final confirmation on the specs from the venue that we're going to be doing it at. We should have those by the end of the week. We can have more detailed instructions and about the show next week. NATO is testing AI-powered cockroach spy drones.
Did you see this?
I did. It's like,
I don't know. I just thought this was a be aware thing. Just if you see any cockroaches in your citadel, make sure that they don't have cameras and microphones and radio transmitters on them.
be aware.
It's an interesting way of getting around battery stuff, right? Like battery tech is like the one thing holding back a lot of these miniature surveillance things. But if you just strap it onto a nuke resistant animal, and have him carry you around, then you can get around it. I don't know, wild times.
Three more things on the list. Anthropic is subsidizing Claude Code compute costs. This was a report from Barely AI. Cursor internal analysis shows how hard Anthropic is subsidizing Claude Code. This is something we've mentioned over the last couple of months. Like, it's obvious to me.
But it's more extreme than I realized.
Yeah. So last year, a $200 monthly subscription could use $2,000 in compute. Now the same $200 monthly plan can consume $5,000 in compute, a 2.5x increase. This is right around like what I was guesstimating, anywhere from like $2,000 to $5,000.
So just to be clear here, people are paying Anthropic $2,400 a year and they're getting $60,000 worth of compute. And it's being subsidized by the insane CapEx spend that we're seeing in the AI industry right now. So why do I bring this up? I just bring this up because, first of all, it's one of the hurdles that open source alternatives have to fight against, because if you go and KYC with Claude, you're getting a significantly better deal. And then second of all, like, as you're thinking about this brave new world we're entering and positioning yourself in that future and trying to make sure your family and your projects are in a good situation, just keep this in the back of your mind, because it's not going to be subsidized forever. And I think, I mean, if you just think about it at the most basic level, like if they turn that shit off, like a lot of things would break right now.
Yeah. And I think I warned about this a couple of weeks ago, but just if you're integrating Claude Code, if you're using Claude's API for your agent, just be prepared to like just visualize in your mind the cost going up at some point when the subsidization no longer makes sense, and prepare for that accordingly.
Yeah, don't get like reliant on the drugs and then have the drug dealer raise the prices on you.
Yeah. This is cool. Sats Invader, Bitcoin paid arcade shooting game, is now live.
Yeah. So, I mean, the last two pieces are just, I've been vibing for the last
couple of days. I didn't know if you're going to tell it.
So, Sats Invader is a game I made. Instead of inserting a coin, you pay 100 sats, which is, I think, like 7 cents. And there's a leaderboard that updates itself every week. It was just fun. So, if you freaks want to live a little bit of nostalgia and play a Bitcoin powered game, satsinvaders.com. And then I also vibed something I'm calling citadelwire.com, which shows the latest RHR and the most recent Citadel dispatch. And then I have like an AI news agent who's pulling live Polymarket data and other live market data to try and deliver a higher signal news. It posts every 3 hours to Nostr. The whole website is actually Nostr native. It's pulling everything from Nostr in the background. So you can subscribe on a Nostr client. I just thought it was a pretty cool proof of concept. And I'm actually using it and refining it and trying to curate it into something that can let me pay attention to what matters, but focus most of my scarce time on my family. So some of you guys might find it helpful. And if you do find it helpful, feel free to reach out with feedback if you think it can be improved. My contact information is at odell.xyz.
Kudos to you, sir. Both very clean. Very clean. They're fun. All right. I've got to hop on stage at the Bitcoin Takeover, so I got to get over there. Shout out to Map21 for last minute zap here. 21,000 sats, no message. It's been fun. Crazy world. Crazy times. Make sure you stand up for freedom and sovereignty in the digital age. And in Bitcoin, I think it is important. There is a lot of conversations going on Capitol Hill that most people are not aware of. And again, as it pertains to the what happened on X yesterday with the Coinbase discussion about de minimis tax exemption, I think it's important that people are aware of that. So.
Love you all. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love. The key.